I'm Rosalie Titoff, and I'm interviewing Mr. Bob Manning on his high school experiences. We are at Chesaning High School, and this is sponsored by the Chesaning High School Sophomore Honors English Class. Okay, Bob, I'm going to just ask a question, and you're welcome to talk on it as long as you'd like, and I just any memories that you have, tell me what you remember about your days in high school.
Well, if you go back, because people don't know anything about the Great Depression, but that seems to be the topic of my day. Back in 1932, we were about 3 years into the 29th crash, as it was called at the time, stock market crash. People didn't die out of windows, they jumped out of windows and committed suicide because they bought 100,000 shares of General Motors at $80 and it dropped down to $8. These kind of things really left an indelible print on my mind that has probably been a guide to me all through my life, and that makes you somewhat conservative. The days that we spent in high school were probably as much fun as the days that you're spending. We didn't have any money, no one had any money, so it didn't make any difference. The rich and the poor were all alike for once. And 25 cents a week was the usual amount of spending money that kids had. My first 2 years was in a parochial high school run by the Catholic Church, and it was a very small group taught by one nun, and the closeness of the freshmen and sophomore people made up a unit that wasn't as big as your classes are, but they were fun. Years. We got to practice football at the public high school, and in my junior and senior years, we got to play tackle. I got to play it all the time because we wasn't able to tackle. We had 11 players, and God help us if one of us got sick or hurt. We were putting in some pretty small kids. I recall I didn't have a helmet to start with because we didn't have one big enough. I wear a size 8 hat. And that helmet, I went back 25 years later, was still hanging in the locker room with RJM on it. No one else, I guess no one else ever wore it after that. Junior and senior prom was a big event back in those days. We still like to dress up. Or white flannels, and a blue sport coat. Most of them were borrowed. Mine was borrowed from my cousin. And he didn't have quite the waistline that I had. I don't know what white flannel can look like after you wear it a couple of years, but it changes color. And my mother put a gusset in the back. It was about that wide, and that was pure white. The rest of it was an off-white or winter white, as they call it today. Thank God the sport coat covered it up so they didn't make any difference. But I don't think I was alone in this kind of situation because most of the other kids were about the same way. I would think that the subject that I enjoyed mostly in high school was history and drama and math. Never did too well in English because I'm what you call a C-minus speller. The papers always got corrected. I always knocked anything off that was good, but never got much over a C or C plus. It's probably good. I struggled to get that. I graduated with what you call the middle of the class. Instead of having valedictorians back in those days, they used those that had been in drama drama class, a speech class, and I happened to be one of them that had to give a little short talk at the graduation exercise. It covered most of it.
What other memories might you have from high school? Are there others that you can think of that maybe
I was raised on the farm, on a 400-acre farm, and my father bought an 80-acre farm, so we'd be close to school. Well, the Depression forced us to leave the 80-acre farm and move back to the large farm in order to save it. But he also, and I was staying with my aunt and uncle in town, but dad, just to make sure that his son wouldn't have too much freedom, he put 20 head of feeder cattle in the barn, and so it was my job to go feed the cattle and also clean out the barn once a week. I guess you'd call that wisdom on my father's part, because he didn't get a whole lot of time to play around. I was one of the four out of four brothers. I was the only one that was allowed to go to high school. Most of the kids would graduate from eighth grade, and being farm boys, well, that was it. That's all the education was required. And I appreciated the fact that I was getting a high school education. I was going to law school. That was my number one dream as far as doing something after school. I ended up going to work for Mr. Woolworth, which is entirely different than anything I'd ever wanted to be. It was a chain store to start with, which I served on many debating teams. Most of the debating teams back in those days were chain store versus independent, because the independent grocery, particularly, was being run out by the great AMP and Kroger company that was coming into small towns. So, my introduction to big business would come about because I was offered a $16 a week job. Of course, this takes me out of my high school days. It's another period of my life.
That's okay.
Instead of going on to college, I went on to an apprenticeship. It took 4 years. I became a Woolworth manager. It lasted for 25 years. And then I was 45 years old and had to make a decision whether I wanted to celebrate another 25 with the company or go on my own, and I elected to come to Chattanooga. And 1959, and that's never regretted it. In fact, it's one of the best moves I've ever made in my life, because it moved me back to what I believed in, and that was being independent. I wanted to be independent. To be a yes-yes person to someone else all your life, to a lot of people, is difficult. It's still difficult for me. It's even difficult to be married to someone that I have to say yes to.
Do you suppose that your wanting to be an independent kind of person was maybe influenced by teachers or maybe any of your high school experiences? Can you tell me, I guess maybe I want to get toward a question, maybe what do you remember about your high school teachers?
Well, I particularly remember a speech teacher and drama teacher, Miss Moyer, who was only in a hedge fence, but God, she had personality. I knew lots of them. And she was the kind of a person that she found out as guys were going to hitchhike to Detroit, which is 100 miles away from where I live, to see the stage production of Cyrano de Bergerac. She gave us $5. And those kind of things, you know, back in those days, $5, it's like $50 today. it enabled us to have something to eat. We had enough money to buy a ticket, and that was all. We didn't have any money. We were supposed to go to one of the guy's aunt's house and got to Detroit. It wasn't going to hit there, so I think she had a lot of influence on me. So I go back to the parochial school. This Sister Bernard Marie, likewise, was a very, had a tremendous amount of influence on me. One thing that was wrong with her, she was trying to make a priest out of me. That was the last thing I wanted to be, was to become a priest, mainly because I didn't believe in one. I didn't want to be be in the single life precept. I go back to my grade school. Recall infraction of the rules where us country kids got into trouble with the town boys. The town boys were safe because they were not under the jurisdiction of the nuns during the lunch hour. So come spring of the year, we decided to go swimming in the Grand River, which is had an island to protect us from most of the rest of the people. In school, you don't necessarily take a bathing suit, but the good nuns found out that we went swimming in the Grand with no clothes on. And I was just paddling. I got in the eighth grade, and she got through. She said, "You know what? You don't think you deserve this." And you just offer it up for the right purpose. And I tell you, talk about an Irishman getting mad. I resented it. I guess I shouldn't be telling these kind of things, but I don't think there's any generation that grows up without experiencing some, I would call, going swimming in the Grand, whether we were with a swimming suit or without, which different from it was all boys. YMCA, we go swimming there, they wouldn't let you wear a suit, so I naturally just. That was the only way that I ever went swimming. Gravel pits the same way.
How about, can you describe how maybe a high school teacher ran the class or disciplined, or what do you remember about maybe assignments and anything that dealt with in classroom kind of things?
Well, I'm trying to think, but one of the things that I recall is you have a yearbook, and it's really a gorgeous thing to do it. It's all glossy pages and all that. We had a yearbook tied together with a piece of, I think, a shoestring or a binder. And I recall we had all the pictures of our clients, but they were in silhouette. And some kid rigged up a deal where you stood up against the wall, and this stick was on I guess you'd call it a pinion. So all you did is go around your face like this here, and drew your picture, and then they were reduced in size and put into this yearbook. So, you know, you can do things even though you don't have any money. I still have that yearbook, and I cherish it very much. All the class prophecies and everything like that was in it. There's been a few people have in your yearbook. It just wasn't very fancy. I don't know too much about, I've observed some modern-day classroom instruction. I do think that we're probably a little more structured today. Back in my day than you are here today. Today, even seating arrangement likes to make it a little more comfortable manner. We're filling big old rows up and down like you are seated today. We had individual classrooms, the same as you do. Had a big assembly hall that was above the gymnasium. And and the rest of the classrooms were built around the type of school, the two-story school. Which was then the very modern school, but it's been torn down since. It was built back in 1921 or 22 somewhere. So the old school was burned down.
What do you remember about graduation or activities and things connected with it?
Well, I recall some things I didn't like too well. I recall after graduation, we, like kids do today, to go on class trips. So this happened to be not a class trip, but a place to up at two cottages was made available with chaperones. So my dad elected to have me replant the corn where the crows had pulled it out. And I guess that's the main reason I went to work for Mr. Woolworth. I was to get away from Dad. As he graduated, he went to third or fourth grade again. He didn't have too much tolerance for any kind of tomfoolery, as he called it. So, graduation was sort of a, we had caps and gowns, as you have today, and we had pictures taken. And I recall I was a towhead that didn't have any eyebrows, so the photographer had to paint some eyebrows on my picture. And like kids, you know, growing mustaches and all, my mind was so white that I had to burn a match and kind of color it up a little bit. So many different features, I was all the same. We all want to be noticed by somebody else, and even wear earrings and all. I thought we did things in place. I mean, we put grease on our hair until that Marcel just stood just perfect all the way back, and it shined enough so you didn't even turn on a light to read by. So that was back in the Brill cream days, they call it.
What do you recall? Can you describe some of the things that you did after school and weekends? I know you mentioned that your father set you up to do those chores and things, but you and other classmates, what might be some things as far as dating, parties? You
know, well, before the dating took place, it resulted from that. We had what we called the bio on the Looking Glass River. A big curve on the river like that where the railroad came straight across like this and cut this here part off from the main part of the fast stream of the river. So it was a very safe place to skate on. Good area, probably a couple acres of ice there. And the whole town gathered in the wintertime and would build a big fire on the ice. And so we showed off our skating abilities and all the likes of the gals and stuff. We kind of like to shine around a little bit and kind of walk in there. And that was the sort of extent of what they call a date. We had house parties. We played post office and a few things like that. We had a hill that had two bridges across the Grand River. One was closed in the wintertime because kids slid down this big hill. I'd say 3 blocks long or longer. The hill went down quite steep like that, so if you got a good running start with the sled, you'd go all the way to the bridge. And that was another fun thing. Summertime, we sort of got away from our school chums, more or less. Come to us, what was called neighborhood kids. I can't think of where we had what you would call too many school dances and things of that nature, which seems like that has come into existence at that time now. The prom is a big thing to look forward to. The varsity club was made up of lettered athletes. We put on every year a carnival and dance. Make money for it to buy athletic equipment.
I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the interview, so you kids remember, you should tell your people that I take notes occasionally just of something that I may want to ask you way down the road, so don't be disturbed if you see me writing something down. Good. Okay, can you remember anything about any humorous or embarrassing or tragic events maybe that happened while you were in high school? You did mention the gusset in your pants.
Yeah. This goes back into grade school. My mother was a great seamstress. She made good-looking jackets. She didn't have an elastic in it. So it had just a soft band. I would be turned, I wasn't going to wear that thing. I wore it, I guess, for 3-4 months. One day I decided to cause a big rip in it. I got to even go home because men said, well, that looks terrible. You want to wear that thing with that big rip in it. So I got away with that. One of the things in my life that I did was not very nice. It wasn't embarrassing so much as it was sure about you can lead a horse to water, but not necessarily you can drink. Well, the jacket of somebody that's done that doesn't seem to know where. Today I'd be real proud to wear a jacket like that. But everything was homemade. You didn't even like homemade bread. You liked that terrible baked bread that you got from the bakery that was made out of straw. That's the way I look at it today. But back then, that was terrific. And store-bought cookies. My, that was a real treat. And look at all those good molasses cookies that Mother used to make. They were, today, that's the only thing that you want. I think it's just that whatever you're not, you haven't had a lot of, this is what you want. Life is no different today than what then.
What do you remember or recall about smoking or drinking or morals during your high school years?
No different than they are today. I guess I started smoking when I was 14. Maybe 15. Played football, but never smoked for any of the coaches ever saw me. Comes to drinking, that was prohibition yet. So it wasn't really the big problem of student drinking. I graduated in 32, and it was 1932 that when President Roosevelt came into office, and that was that's when they abolished the 18th Amendment. So I would say my drinking experience came after high school. Probably the same amount as any of these kids like friends too. Oh, if you measure it, they all sick. Cigarettes for 12 years now. But up till that time, I just got up to 3 packs a day, so you can just see how dang silly it is to start smoking. To me, it's a worse habit than drinking. Because you're doing it constantly. Drinking, you probably may only do on weekends or something like that. When it comes to smoking, if you're up on cigarettes, you're going to smoke from the time you get up until you go to bed. I knew we'd ten cents a pack back in those days, now they're $1.40, $0.50. You almost have to steal in order to satisfy your ass.
I mean, it's not going too well, and... Okay. Do you recall any fads that were going on while you were in high school? Styles or fads or expressions?
Well, we wore four buckle IDs. And you were a nerd if you buckled them up. Just like these kids are a nerd if you... Your waist is tied. Is it all right to tie them now? Oh, a year ago it wasn't even styled tie them, so... something like that. I guess that was the thing that I recall mostly is to give enough people with four buckle IDs and swishing them down the hallway like you can make an awful lot of noise. Worse than corduroy pants ever was.
Do you recall any of the styles? What would you wear? What type of things might you wear?
Well, we didn't have jackets like you have. We had letters. You put that letter on the best looking sweater you had, and you always wore that. And I recall mine was a big T for Portland. And I either wore it on this side or this side, I don't remember that, but that was. That was a must. Most of the kids wore quite similar clothes, I would think. It would be a pair of trousers and a shirt and a jacket of some kind. But no one wore suits or anything like that at school. Didn't dress up at that point. We did in the parochial school, we did have to wear a necktie. Father O'Rourke was pastor, and no one wears a necktie. Not where I come from. Kids took their neckties off. This nun didn't agree with what the good father said. One of the boys, I remember, he put his necktie back on, but he put it on around his neck and tied it without putting it underneath the collar of the shirt. Thought he could get away with that.
Do you remember, you said you went to house parties and things like that. Do you remember anything about, you also said that you really don't recall having dances at school. Were there dances, and when you got together with young people, what kind of things other than post office might you do? What do you remember about the parties or school functions?
There wasn't too many kids that had a car to drive, so you'd walk your dates home, go to shows, and do the thing. It's kind of hard. I know some of the guys had steady dates. I never was popular enough to have a steady date. I had a big head. My face was ready to beat most of the time. And I didn't think the girls would care too much for me, even though I have. I like the girls, no question about that. But I never had a steady date. I had a few secret ones that are so madly in love with, even today, that never leave you. Kind of fun to wake up after you have a dream about it or something to tell your wife. But your dream date that you've never had. So, you know, people are still human. They're even human back in those days.
I'm going to go to some of the specific questions.